SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're breaking it down. Let's do this thing. SiriusXM, channel 159. I brought up Baywatch earlier, and it seemed to excite people. I never know who is who in the show, so somebody said, oh, yeah, Nicole Eggert. Yeah, Nicole Eggert was pretty hot on the show Baywatch. Now I'm seeing which one. It's always confusing. I don't know. There were so many, right? There were so many of them on the show. Yasmin Bleeth. She seemed, that's the episodes I'm watching right now. And I should note, I don't watch them. You know, I just find the cheese factor, like, it's just so, you know what I mean? Like that 80s stuff and that 90s stuff. It's just comical to see and how they would never get away with this stuff now. Like the whole premise, the whole everything, the shots, the angles, the wardrobe. Be like, yeah, you can't. You know what I mean? Like, basically, if you shot that now, it'd basically be deemed porn. Like, if you went to a network, you said, listen, we got a show, we're going to have a bunch of lifeguards, and they're going to wear, like, these very skimpy red bathing suits, and they're all going to be blonde chicks with large racks. And we're going to have David Hasselhoff running around here. They'd be saying, get the hell out of my office, all right? You're in the wrong office. All right, so, Ian Cameron, take it with us. Late night anger management class. So, Babano, have you started betting on the Super Bowl yet? Where are you at with this thing yet? Or are you waiting before you start jumping in? Like I said, I seem to be ahead of everybody. I've already got not all of my props in, but most of my player props are already handled. It's like Christmas shopping for me, which I never do before, right? I'm always that last second guy. But with this, I don't think I'm getting any better numbers with the props once the game gets closer and the public starts getting in. And I haven't bet the over the game yet. I have it in a couple alternate bets, but I'm concerned that the total is going to start jumping soon as well, that it won't stay at 48.5. Where are you at with the Super Bowl right now? Have you placed your bets yet?
Well, nothing yet on the side or total because I like Cincinnati, and I'm not going to take Cincinnati now when we've seen some Rams money, just a little bit of Rams money. Not a ton, but it's looking like it's staying pat. Like, I'm going to see if maybe the Rams take a little bit before that game kicks off, and maybe we'll get a little bit better number or price. It's not going to go much, but if you can get 4.5, it would be great. With the Bengals total right now, 48.5, it got hit to the under immediately, and I figured it would. So I'm probably not going to look at the total. As far as props go, I have locked in a couple props already, and it's the two that are the obvious to me going into this game. It's Joe Mixon over receptions. It's Joe Mixon over receiving yards. You got to keep the pass rush at bay. You got to get the ball out of your hands if you're Joe Burrow. It's an absolute must in this game, and Joe Mixon's going to be that safety valve, running back, catching the ball out of the backfield. I figure there's going to be a lot of people thinking along the same line, so I figured might as well bet that now. That's the only two props, both of them Mixon to catch the ball, receptions and receiving yards.
I think Joe Mixon is going to be a massive factor, X factor in this football game. The better Mixon plays, the better chance they have of winning this game outright, I'll tell you that. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Countdown to kickoff is on. Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, Sports Grid Radio Networks. Ton of stuff going on in the world of sports, like from a betting standpoint. You know, sometimes it's like more, hey, you know what? We got this story to talk about. We got this going on. Or it's just a couple of NFL games, NFL playoffs. Tonight, it's one of these last couple of days just sort of been overwhelming. We got college basketball. The Olympics have started. If you're a degenerate gambler, then you're betting on all this stuff. Or at least you're starting to look and kick the tires on it. We've got International World Cup qualifications going on. NBA basketball. It's full slate of NBA basketball this evening. NHL All-Star break. The Brussels Floors lawsuit. More bombshells, revelations, and all kinds of crazy accusations going on. And oh, yeah, the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. It's a good thing that really, like, nobody really cares about hockey all that much because otherwise the story would be pretty bad, right? There was sexual abuse that was going on with the Chicago Blackhawk organization, you know, like 10 years ago type of deal when they were good. They were winning the cups and stuff. It was a big cover-up, and, you know, it was a massive cover-up. They didn't want to pay the guy off, and they, you know, they went screaming and kicking into a court, you know, to pay this guy. Basically, the Chicago Blackhawks are jerks. Let's just call it out for what it is. They're jerks. They did what everybody else does in these instances. They took the cowardly way out. They looked the other way. They let somebody get abused. And it had a domino effect. They looked the other way, and then this guy abused more people after the fact. So it was brought up tonight at, like, a town hall. And basically the owner just, like, went off, man. Like, somebody at the – listen, the guy at the Athletic clearly had an agenda, right, like, to take this guy down. But he basically said, you know, what are you guys doing to ensure that nothing like that ever happens again? And Buddy went right into, like, what kind of question is that? Like, we're not talking about that anymore. That's done with. We've already talked about that. And then he said the worst thing you can say to anybody. He said, it's none of your business what we're doing. Countdown to kickoff. All right, we'll welcome our AM radio affiliates back in a second here as we throw it down in the late night hours. The Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Whoa, yeah! Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. You know you're a degenerate when you need more goals and you're watching a hockey game and it's 9-0. It's 9-0 Canada right now with 11 minutes and 41 seconds remaining in women's ice hockey, Beijing, in the least hyped Olympics ever. All right, like nobody wants to be associated with it. You know what I mean? Because I don't know, it's this China thing. I don't know. People seem to borrow money from them, but then they don't want to cover them when they go there. So, it's this China thing. So, like, all these companies pay massive money, right, for the Olympic rights to, like, be the sponsor, but no one really wants to be associated with it right now.
Yeah, where's all the NBC ads on Sunday Night Football for the Olympics? I haven't seen them.
Yeah, because exactly, they don't, right? So, I read about this, Babano. They're basically waiting, and Switzerland just scored 9-1. They're basically waiting until the games start for real, and then they could just focus in on the athletes, right? Because then people won't be thinking about, human rights and this and that. No one cares about anything, but they just like to complain all the time, right? So yeah, that's the deal. But if you notice, like you said, right, like you don't see it. It doesn't feel like it. Like, oh, yeah, the Olympics are here. Like, you know what I mean? But they are. They've started. It's up and down for us, all right? We've won money. We've lost money. Like I said, I got a little stupid and carried away betting like $225 on that curling match earlier tonight. You know you got a problem. I was betting on curling mixed doubles totals, Babano. You might be a smarter man than me to, like, just pass on that. Hey, so was Cam. So was Cam. I wasn't the only one. Like, we were live on the air, and, like, yeah. Not just curling.
But you're also doing an in-game live show, and you can't just not talk about anything or not bet anything.
Exactly. Well, we could just, you know, talk about the same NBA score over and over, or we could bet on some degenerate that's live. Like, you know what I mean? Dude, they're only every 4 years. We have fun with it, right? But that's my whole point. Have fun with it, but don't get crazy with it. You know what I mean? Like, don't start
entertainment
putting,
amount.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. $25. Exactly. Like, I had a good time in the summer games doing that. Hey, I'll put $50 on this girl in this swim mat, $100, but, like, you know, I was doing pretty well, but even then I got stupid sometimes. I remember once I had like $850 on like an 800 meter hurdle race or something. Right. I was like, sometimes I'll get out of control. So I just got to warn myself, do not, Do not get out of control. All right, if you want to follow me on Twitter, at SportsRage, I just tweeted out a great picture. Our boy Andy. Andy's looks like just like Alistair Overeem, Andy, actually. First time I met him, I walked right past him. I didn't know what he looked like. And I just looked at the guy. I was like, man, damn, this guy looks like Alistair Overeem. I walked past him. Turns out it's Andy. Andy likes tweeting about food. And I can't help but think about it. He must be tuning into the show right now. Because it's like 12 noon, 70s and 80 kids will remember. And there's a picture of the Flintstones. And a nice grilled cheese sandwich, Babano, and a nice bowl of tomato soup. And even I'm not against this. I'm looking at this right now, and I want a bowl of tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich right now. And after the show, I wouldn't mind watching the Flintstones.
Yeah, I think I've had that combination for a lunch probably like 60 times in my life at least. That might even be selling it short.
I was going to say, come on. Yeah, I'm sure you've had it more than 60.
Yeah.
How old are you?
A lot of times.
35? 36? How old are you?
Yeah.
35?
36.
36?
Yeah.
Yeah, 60 times. Not that many times. Yeah, I would assume you've had this. I've had this hundreds of times. I think as a kid, like literally. I'm down with this. I'm down. But the question is, some people like putting bacon. I know bacon goes with everything, but I like bacon everywhere, but I don't need bacon in a grilled cheese. You know what I mean? The grilled cheese alone, that's good enough. I haven't had a bowl of tomato soup, though, Babano, in, I don't know, 10 years, maybe? I can't even remember. Like, honestly, like, if you ask, like, when's the last time you had a bowl of tomato soup, Matthias? Do you recall? Like, if, I'm thinking right now, like, honestly.
Actually,
like maybe,
absolutely, Gabe. I can tell you right now, 2 days ago.
Really, huh?
You're yeah, crushing you go. Do you like it with more milk or more water? That's
Campbell's tomato soup?
No, from actually Pavilion's, signature soup. You know, you have like the
You're getting the real deal.
Yeah, I get the good. The good stuff.
Gourmet soup.
Yeah, I like that stuff, man. And you know what? I also crumble some Parmesan cheese in there as well, and it made it twice as good.
2 days ago, man. I'm thinking like 10, 15 years.
Uh-oh.
I haven't been like.
You're getting the soup cravings going, fellas.
Yeah, I know. Babano's going to go out. He's getting like a drug addict now. I was in a Subway. You know what? I was in a Subway restaurant a couple of months ago, and I saw they had soup, and I said, what's your soup of the day? And the girl goes, there's no soup. I was like, all right. She went with disdain. She goes, there's no soup. None. I said, soup of the day. She's like, there's none. I'm like, all right, all right. And it was like one other time I asked them for soup in that place. Same thing. And I actually said to him, I said, I don't know why you bother having an empty soup like thing here. Like, you know what I mean? You have a sign up saying soup. Like,
that my first job ever was actually Subway. I was a sandwich artist and a soup pourer.
Are you telling me not to eat that soup? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Skip the soup and skip the tuna.
Yeah, let's not get into that. All right, let's change the subject, actually. I've been down this road before and connected with the Olympics, actually. But that's an inside joke, another story. All right, Ian Cameron kicking it with us. So what's the deal now, Babano? That's it for hockey, huh? You get to sleep in tomorrow? No more ice guys in the morning?
Ice guys is never in the morning. Ice guys is in the afternoon. So
Do you wake up 2 minutes before the show starts?
No, of course not. No, I get up usually 9 a.m. most mornings, yep.
That sounds like a lie. The way you just said most mornings, you gave yourself away. Like you said most mornings 9 a.m. Let's be real. What is it, more 10, 10:30?
No, 9. 9 most mornings because I got a handicap, especially when it's a big car, busy time of year. Now, summertime when it's just a baseball board, for the most part, to break down, then maybe we'll sleep a little longer. So, but 9 a.m., no, it's just because, you know, you got to get cap in the card. You got to.
Baseball's worse.
I start in the overnight.
Baseball, baseball's the one that takes the longest, I think. There's 16 games every day. There's a million players and just a million moving parts and stuff like that. Baseball's annoying, actually, to handicap. It's fun when you're winning, you get into that groove and stuff, but I find baseball like the most challenge. Like, baseball is the sport where.
A little more time-consuming game by game because you got to crunch more numbers, crunch more data. You got to consume more data and use that to make your decision.
Well, you got to watch the games. Like, if you don't know what happened with a team the night before, you can't be like, a lot of other games, it's irrelevant what happened in the game before in some sports. Like baseball, like I always said, it's like
with
a soap
bullpen,
opera.
It's certainly relevant, yeah.
Every game bleeds into the next one type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Some other sports, like, who cares what happened in the last game? It's nothing. Like basketball. I don't know. We went 3-for-20 from three in the first half. The next night, you go 13-18 in the first half from three. Right? Like, it's just sort of that randomness. But nevertheless, all right, Babano kicking it was. So how'd you do tonight in the National Hockey League? The biggest upset tonight, Seattle Kraken. You and I spoke earlier in the week. We expected some upsets this week. It's the final games before the All-Star break. Guys going to Vegas, other guys yep. getting some time off right now. And, you know, we saw one of the biggest upsets, I guess, of the year last night, in which Arizona not only covered the puck line, the +2.5, but they actually ended up winning the game outright. And then tonight, give credit to the Seattle Kraken. They were in Boston last night, played a tough, hard-fought game, and then roll into to New York tonight, into, you know, Long Island. Another hard-fought game and get a win, but that was the big upset of the night tonight. Edmonton winning, they were actually small favorites when it was all said and done. So Kraken cracked the book tonight.
That was the big upset, yeah, with Seattle. Edmonton did open a dog, but they were a favorite at the close after the Ovechkin news. I think people were starting to see it was kind of a bad spot for Washington. They had the big comeback in overtime to beat Pittsburgh last night, a rival. And the Edmonton coming in as the rested team. And Ovechkin ruled out because he was testing positive for COVID. So that really swung the line in Edmonton's favor. But Seattle was a very impressive win because it was a...
The music! The Late Night Anger Management class.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, listen, I need some cash.
What for?
I just need it, that's all.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You're gambling again, aren't you? Oh, you weak, weak man.
Man, it's 10-1. I need one more goal. We laid the 9.5. We laid 7.5 as well. There's 4 minutes left. I am Gabe Morency. Late night D-gen action going on here. We got Ian Cameron, A.K. Babano, kicking with us. I want to take a look at some overnight college basketball numbers. I saw on Twitter, Babano, how'd you do in college basketball tonight? I saw you won a couple of bets earlier. But when it was all said and done, how'd you do on the college hardwood tonight?
Yeah, pretty very good overall. One of my better nights of the season, actually. It's been pretty solid since January. I had a horrible first couple months. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. November and December was rough in college basketball. But January was better, a lot better. And so far here in February, it's been good. It was a good night tonight. We had Dayton. They pulverized VCU. It was a great revenge spot for the Flyers tonight. They got the job done. We had a bunch of overs tonight. Lots of points in a lot of the games tonight. So usually that's going to be good news for me. So it was a nice night with college basketball.
All right, Canada just scored 11-1. Let's see if we can hit this.
There you go.
Yeah.
-9.5. You're covering.
Yeah, yeah.
3-4.
You know, it's one of those, sort of like Alabama and football, Babano. Like, if you score late, it just pisses them off. Like, I think, like, that, like, Switzerland scoring just going to make Canada go, oh, we can't, like, end the game with Switzerland, like, you know, on a high note, right? We've got to get these goals back. And, I'm always worried whether they're going to count this stuff after, because these referees, you never know, man, in this Olympic stuff. It's like WWE, but seems to be a good goal. And I'm just waiting for them to drop the puck until it's official, but it's looking good here. Yes, it is. 11-1 with 3:40 left. Something to note moving forward, actually, guys. So Listen, we'll get to the college basketball because I got some overnight numbers, and we'll throw some picks. I'll ask Babano about some games here. I don't know if you've already done looked at this a little bit. I'm just looking at the numbers for the first time, but a couple of teams I want to talk about. But with the men's ice hockey coming up in a couple of days, whatever it is, what, on Tuesday, I get confused with the time in China, etc. But Cam brought it up earlier about Chris Chelios. And it was like, what, Chris Chelios? He said, what, Chris Chelios is on Team China or something? And he was kidding, but his son Jake is, right? So how about, so his son Jake Chelios, I'm like, well, what's the connection here? There isn't. Jake Chelios is one of seven Americans playing for China in the Beijing Games as part of a team mainly most up of foreign players. It's amazing. Like, no other country like gets away with this but what China. So of the 25 players on China's men's ice hockey roster, 18 of them were born in North America. One of them is Russian. So you got 18 American and Canadian dudes. So basically you got seven American guys, like 11 Canadians and a Russian dude. That's Team China, Babano. I didn't know that, right? So I just stumbled upon this right now, earlier tonight, about the Chinese team. And that's something to note, too, because if people think, oh, well, you know what, this Chinese team's getting smoked and stuff, well, no, it's actually, it's not a Chinese team. Like we said, they got
it's
seven
USC,
Chinese
United
guys.
United States of China.
Yeah, and Canada and Russia. It's a mix. Yeah. It's a ringer team, right? Yeah. So they're, I'm not saying they're going to be as good as some of these teams, but they're going to have a more of a chance than I think, you know, that people just realize that, that, wow, Team China, ice hockey, oh, they're not going to be very good. Well, like I said, there's only seven or eight Chinese guys on the team, right? They're all, you know, they're all, that's they're all internationals. That's something to keep your eye on when men's ice hockey drops.
And they're
going to
play hard because they're in their home country, and they want to put on a good, obviously a good showing. So they actually might have some value.
Yeah, and we'll probably get a lot of pucks, too. We'll get a lot of pucks. I don't know. Yeah, the Chinese guys won't get a lot of ice time. Unless, I don't know, I guess if they're getting blown out. But we see that, dude, it's the same crap at the Olympics all the time. Like Italy, like the softball and stuff, it was all American chicks. Even the Mexican softball team was like half American chicks. Like it's the, you know what I mean? It's the way it is now in the Olympics. Seems like you have an option for playing for a couple of countries nowadays.
Yeah.
So a team right now, Babano, I don't know how much you've been betting these guys. I only really caught on to this because me and Steve Merrill talk a lot of Colonial Conference. And
you're talking about Wilmington, right?
No, we'll get to Wilmington. But there's a lot of money to be made in this conference. We break it down a lot. And so William and Mary, these guys, they were 0-12 against the spread, Babano. Like, they were the last team in all of college basketball to cover a point spread. Like, they were like, wow, are they ever going to cover a spread? Well, don't look now, bro, but they're actually 8-1 against the spread of their last nine games. And they win games outright now as well. The oddsmakers haven't adjusted because it's William and Mary. They fly under the radar. And they played Babano like 10 days. I'll get the exact day. It's off the top of my head. I'm not even looking at anything. But College of Charleston, William and Mary just played, bro. And it was 74-73. And that was at Charleston. I think William and Mary were getting 13.5, 14 off the top of my head. They lost by one. Now they're back home. They're getting 7.5. Oddsmakers catching up a little bit, but I'm not getting in front of this, bro. William and Mary, one of the hottest teams of college basketball, ATS right now, Babano. It's 7.5 right now, overnight number.
Yeah, I think Wilmington's the only team that's hotter than them, ATS, in that conference right now. But you're right. William and Mary's a terrific choice right now as well. They've been, as you mentioned, 8-1 ATS the last nine games. They had one game where just second half, the game got away from them. And they've been in a lot of high-scoring games. The one thing about William and Mary is, you know, they're not good defensively at all. For the season, their numbers there on the defensive end of the court are brutal. They're giving up a lot of points, 45% shooting, 32 from three-point range, so it's not been good. As of late in conference play, it's been worse. But they've been covering numbers because they got off to that horrible start, and they've been undervalued since. Charleston will be a good test. Charleston's good offensively. They brought in Pat Kelsey as their new head coach. He was at Winthrop for years, and he's brought in the up-tempo type of basketball. You know, they play very fast. fast, and they're very good offensively, but they're a little shaky defensively. They lost to James Madison earlier in January, gave up 95 points in that game. So I actually like the over quite a bit in this game in the high 140s. But certainly from a side perspective, yeah, William & Mary, 81 ATS the last nine, in revenge for a really tough loss against Charleston earlier this year. I could see why you're interested to take in the points. I think the underdog and the over are both good bets here in this game.
Well, yeah, and I was going to pat myself on the back for being so accurate and saying, yeah, the score actually was 74-73. And the point spread was 14, but whatever. It was January 25th, this game. So it was like, you know, it was a couple of days ago, essentially. I was like, yeah, recently they played. It was recently. But these teams, you know what, though? They played twice since then. And I'll tell you what. So you look, William & Mary, after they lost 74-73 at Charleston, and they were getting 14. Like we said, now they're playing at home. They're getting 7.5. Then after that, they went to Elon. They were getting 8. They lost by 7. All right, so they squeezed that out. Then they beat Elon 65-61 outright. All right, and they, you know, so William & Mary brought a little bit of a role here, but my point is now going into, as you mentioned, UNC Wilmington, 11-0 against the spread, Babano, in their last 11 games, right? And as you know, so for people tuning in, yes, UNC Wilmington, they are 11-0 ATS in their last 11 basketball games. They are on the road tomorrow night at Elon, who are not a very good team. All right, Elon are 6-16. They just lost to William & Mary outright, as we just discussed. Elon are 6-16 straight up. They're 7-13 against the spread on the season. Wilmington lays a point here. I don't know, man. If it's a trap, it's a trap. I'm falling into it. I'm all over Wilmington here, Babano. But I think a lot of websites and people will talk about this tomorrow. Not a lot, but some will. And I got numbers got to go up only. So I think if we're betting Wilmington, bet it now, guys. But I like Wilmington here. I'm not getting in front of 11-0. And the Elon aren't even good, bro. Like, they'll lose to a good team eventually, but it ain't going to be Elon.
Yeah, I mean, Elon's had a really rough season. It's unfortunate because they were a team that made a great run in the tournament last year, conference tournament. But this year, not even close to that same team. It's disappointing because, you know, this is a program that's been pretty good in this conference in years past. Not this year, though, for Elon. And, you know, 11 straight ATS, and I've been on the last three or four at least with Wilmington when I finally saw this run they were putting together, and I'm not stepping in front of it. And they just beat Hofstra. Hofstra's always been one of the best teams in the Colonial Athletic Association. Very good basketball team. Of course, Speedy Claxton is now coaching that Hofstra team. They're very, very efficient offensively. And NC Wilmington matched them point for point. When that game was close late, it was Wilmington making those key stops late. It was a high-scoring game, and Wilmington prevailed in that game. Huge win for them. So, yeah, I guess there's a little bit of a fear of a letdown. But, man, they've been winning. They've been covering. They've come back the next time out, even in bad spots, Gabe, during this 11-game point spread streak. And they've still found a way to get it done. So, again, this doesn't look like a great spot. You just beat a good Hofstra team, one of the best teams in the conference. Now you're going on the road facing lowly Elon. It feels like a bad spot, but they've had a million bad spots on paper during this streak, and they've still managed to get it done. So you got to
sort of dodging bullets.
I'll be on them again.
Yeah, they're sort of dodging bullets a bit. Like you said, it's going to catch up eventually, but I don't think Elon's a team. I we've got him here. I tell you what, Marshall, guys. Marshall are 4-13-2 against the spread. One of the biggest money burners in the country. More on the other side with Babano. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Do you have a gambling problem?
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby.
I keep saying yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. We're kicking it. Ian Cameron, Sirius XM channel 159, Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio. Talk a little college basketball right now. Just taking a look at some of the who's hot, who's not. And we were just discussing the Colonial Conference, in which William & Mary 8-1 ATS in their last nine games. UNC Wilmington 11-0 ATS in their last 11. And they're just laying a point on the road against Elon. And William and Mary are getting 7.5 at home. I think the numbers will go against us because, you know, not everybody's a dumbass. And some other people are going to know this, that what we're telling you right now. All right. So what are you looking at, Babano? Other games on the college basketball card overnight board right now. Anything else catch your eye?
Yeah, in terms of tomorrow, let me see. It's actually another one in the like you're right. Colonials is a conference I've done
money,
well
baby.
In. I think Northeastern shouldn't be favored. They're awful. They're absolutely terrible. And I know James Madison is. They've gone through a little bit of a skid right now, but Northeastern's not doing anything right now. You talk about teams that are 11-0 ATS like Wilmington. I think Northeastern's like the polar opposite. I think they're 0-10 ATS their last 10 games. 1-9 actually. 1-9 against the Stone. It's not much better. James Madison just crushed them in the first meeting. Northeastern's playing with revenge, but you know when you get crushed in the first meeting, you're not the better team. James Madison is. I think James Madison plus 1.5 is a good bet there. Let's see what else we've got. I like the over in Bryant and South St. Francis, Pennsylvania. It's a Northeast conference. Bryant Bulldogs, one of the most fun offensive teams to watch. You'll remember they got to the conference championship game of their tournament last year. They've got a very good offensive team. Jared Grosso's done a nice job coaching them. They play extremely fast, one of the fastest tempos in the country, and they've been trending over. I think 4 or 5 straight games of Bryant have gone over the total after a little bit of a streak earlier in the season where they were going under. And they played Clemson, they played Houston, at Wake Forest. They played some pretty good teams in non-conference, and that's when their offense struggled. They got back into conference play, and that offense started to play like the well-oiled machine that it should be, and it is. And as a result, now we're seeing their games trend over. So I think we'll see that again here with Bryant when they play St. Francis, Pennsylvania, the over there, 148.5.
I love it, Pat. Now we're talking. Forget about the Colonial. You're one-upping me here. All right, Northeastern. I tell you what, though, Bryant.
Majors, yep.
I tell you what, Bryant have been on a roll, and you are right. 4 straight overs for these guys. I think this is a winnable game for them as well. And you know, the total is reasonable here, Babano, at 148.5. Bryant 11-8 to the over on the season. St. Francis 9-10-1 as far as totals to the year.
Yeah, it's doable. St. Francis, PA, is a little more stodgy. Offensively, but they're one of those teams that basically if the other team wants to play fast, it'll be a little bit of a quicker paced game. The other team wants to play in the half court and really slow the ball down, milk the shot clock, and then it'll be a slower paced game. They'll basically play the way their opponent does. So I think that game, and as far as the total can get there. What else have we got here? We've got Western Kentucky against Charlotte. Western Kentucky's been a very frustrating team, a very disappointing team. And the writing seems to be on the wall that I'm finally ready to admit this is not one of Rick Stansbury's better teams. He's had Tavion Hollingsworth. He's had Charles Bassey. He's had some really good players in the past with this program. Perennially one of the better teams in Conference USA. It hasn't been that way for his team this year. They got to go on the road play the Charlotte 49ers, who are a decent basketball team, and they have a very strong home court, 8-1 this year, straight up on their home floor. And they're a slight home underdog in this game. I think they're trying to goad you to take Western Kentucky because for years they've been obviously superior to Charlotte in this conference. But the more I watch the Hilltoppers, they just don't seem to play well both ends of the floor for a consistent 40 minutes. It's caused them consistent problems all year. I think in that game they're just trying to get you to take Western Kentucky. I think Charlotte's the side there. They've got a good home court. They're a slight home dog. And I don't know if I trust this Hilltoppers team anymore. It's not as good as they've been in years past.
Great analysis. Ian Cameron with us on the Late Night Anger Management Class. I am Gable Morency. Let's switch over to the NBA, and I want to see if we can get a player prop in here, some overnight numbers. Right now, as it is, the Toronto Raptors are 3-point favorites, Babano, over the Chicago Bulls. The visiting Chicago Bulls into Toronto. Limited fans. I don't know if they got like 500 or something like ridiculously dumb like that. But it doesn't seem to affect the Raptors whether there's people there or not. They've been playing well at home without fans recently or limited fans, and specifically playing well. Gary Trent, guys. We'll get to Gary Trent in a couple of minutes for you prop players out there. But let's see. Gary Trent. Gary Trent is I'm waiting for it to. It's refreshing. It's refreshing.
He'll be at a number that I'm not interested betting under at this point in time. Let's put it that way.
Waiting. You know what? No, they fooled me. They said player points, Babano, but it is sort of. Sets up, but the numbers don't post, right? It's just, it's a little early. Like I said, you know, normally they're up. I'm getting ahead of them. Oh. It just did, and it didn't. Let's see. I want now it's bothering me. All right. I'm going to tell you right now, Babano. I bet you Gary Trent is 18 and a half. 19 and a half. All right. They just refreshed it. So 19 and a half. So he scored 30 or more in five straight games. You know, like I said, 19 and a half isn't going to scare me off now, Babano. You know what I mean? Like, so what, he's got to crack 20? He's all right. He's cracked 30 in five straight. I got to win this bet.
Yeah.
He's only going to crack 20. So there's the overnight number. One thing with Gary Trent is, this isn't William or Mary or UNC Wilmington. And even though he plays on the Raptors, NBA people online, DFS people, they're catching on to Trent. And his number has gone from 16 and a half to 17 and a half to 18 and a half to 19 and a half. But it's a manageable number still here, Babano, and as well as his over-under three-point shots. But Raptors are playing their best basketball of the year right now. They're 4-1 their last five. They're playing back-to-back games. They're winning. Everyone's on fire. They're coming together as a team. The bench is short as hell, as you and I talked about earlier in the week. But here's another spot for them, bro. Remember what you just said about, like, team? They're always seemingly in a bad spot. The Raptors are always in a bad spot. It's like, well, they have a limited bench. They played last night. They just beat Miami. They're playing Miami again. Jimmy Butler's back. They just find ways, bro. And the Bulls aren't playing their best basketball right now. I like the Raptors, bro, at home again. And I'm riding Gary Trent again.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually look Toronto here because they've lost to the Bulls twice, you know, already this year during the regular season. Both of them were frustrating losses. They were there, and they just couldn't find a way to close. 111-108, 111-105, Chicago. In previous meetings this season. And the recent one was in Chicago. I think it was just a week or so ago in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
The Raptors fell short
last week
against the Bulls. So I like that. The Toronto's looking to earn some redemption there. I think the obvious prop for Chicago is DeRozan. He always wants to play well, obviously, against the Raptors. He usually does. So that's probably a good player prop on the Bulls side. Zach LaVine, since he's been back, by the way, Chicago's offense is just on fire. So the Raptors aren't usually a team. This is a tough one from a totals perspective because I've been riding Chicago games over the total.
No, this should go over, Babano. The Raptors are an over team, too.
Chicago certainly is, and that's the only way I'm playing Chicago games right now. It's a question of can I trust Toronto to get me there with the over. But I think they can, you know, with all their pieces back now. Van Vliet, Siakam's rolling right now. Gary Trent's just absolutely can't be stopped at the moment. You know, there's now offensive pieces. It's going to concern me that there's no bench whatsoever that can produce right now for the Raptors. But for now, they don't have to worry about that. Playoff time, they'll worry about that. Right now, the starting five is getting it done. Chicago's offense is good. I think it goes over the total. I'd look Toronto as well.
Well, the Raptors, you don't worry about the Raptors. The Raptors were the number one over team in the NBA, like pretty much all year until like a week and a half ago. Then the Raptors had like 10 out of 11 games go over the number. And we're cashing again, though, because now that the numbers have gone down again. Like the other night, it was ridiculously low. And now, right, as it is now, Babano, they're the sixth team, right, as far as the sixth highest total. Chicago are right there. Raptors are 27 and 22 to the over, which is 55.1% to the over. Chicago, 26 and 22 and 2 to the over, 54.2% right now. And you wouldn't think of this team, and it's perception of reality, you wouldn't think of this team as being the biggest over team in the NBA because you'd think, nah, they've got a bunch of grinders and vets. And I'm sure if Spoelstra realized that he was the number one over team in the NBA, it'd piss him off. Like the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are 33 and 19 to the over. That's 63.5% of Miami Heat games, guys.
Yeah.
But like I said, Babano, you think of Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Spoelstra's defense, PJ Tucker, they're physical, Kyle Lowry. No, they're like you said, no, they're not fast. They don't play a big tempo, but they're 33 and 19 to the over.
Yeah, they've had their offense undervalued, their defense overvalued. And that's kind of the way it's played out for Miami, especially lately. Like, their defense has been hit or miss. Their offense has still come along strong, though, even with Lowry missing games, Butler missing some time, because you've always got Hero to worry about and Robinson to worry about. Gabe Vincent stepped in at the point, and he's terrible leading the offense and facilitating it. He's awful at that, but he can shoot. And he can make shots for you. So as a result, the offense has been there, and the totals haven't caught up.
And I'll tell you what, guys. So we're just talking about all right, the over teams. There's serious money to be made with the unders here, too. And it's mind-blowing, actually. The totals, they're adjusted right now, but they I don't know how they do it, but they are. The Dallas Mavericks, 65.3% of their games have gone under the number. That's like incredible. They're 32-17-2 to the under on the year. Golden State, another team. So you think, oh, Luka Doncic, Porzingis, high flying, right? Golden State, all Curry and all these guys, and oh, there's no way. Same thing. 62% of the Golden State games, guys, 31-19-2 to the under on the year. Cleveland Cavaliers is another one, Babano, 60.8% of their games. They're 31-20 to the under. That's not surprising. Just because, you know, they got a bunch of massive dudes and, like, you know, they're a weird
matchup. They're a post-oriented team with Barkley down there and Jared Allen.
Yep. They have so many injuries now. Now they're showing cracks, right? They're not, like, you know what I mean? And here's another one. Philadelphia, 60% to the under on the year. That's a pretty big clip, Babana, when you get to a 60% number one side to the other. Dallas, 65%.
Yeah, the biggest fallacy in the NBA is Luka Doncic makes them a phenomenal offensive team, and they play a lot faster. He makes them a little bit better offensively, but he makes their pace much, much slower. He walks the ball up the court. Like, this guy is in no particular hurry to get into the offense and into the set every time they get a possession, Dallas. I mean, actually, the numbers bear it out. Without Doncic, they actually play a little bit faster. With Doncic, they have one of the slowest paces possessions per game wise in the NBA. So to me, and with a good defensive team, when they got everybody healthy, that's why Dallas has been an under machine.
Ian Cameron throwing it down with us for a couple more moments. Just for the record right now, we talk about Cleveland, and listen, we were on board Cleveland from day one, right? Like, literally check the tape from like game one and game two, game three, game four. You know, because we were on them last year, and there's, you know, we talk about a lot of the bad teams on these shows. They've been cashing numbers, but it's catching up to them now. They have too many injuries. The book caught up. They got tired of losing with Cleveland Mets all the time. So they're adjusted there. So they're the third best team against the spread right now, but I think Cleveland are kind of a fade team a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to lose every game, but from a betting perspective, but perception of reality, everybody, Oklahoma City. Oh, Oklahoma City suck. Oklahoma City suck. Second best team in the NBA ATS, the Oklahoma City Thunder. The biggest money-making team in the NBA by far, Memphis Grizzlies. 64.8% cover rate, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. It's a three-minute warning, level two. We're not done yet. The Big E, Eric Arnold will join us. We got more NBA talk. We'll take a look at some of these overnight numbers, try to get you a head start. That's what we're here for, get you a head start overnight. Just for the record, as we stated, Gary Trent Jr., if you're unaware, this guy's going off five straight games of 30 or more points. The prop isn't all that much adjusted right now. It was 18.5. We hit refresh, boom, 19.5. I guess there's still some 18.5s out there. Other places haven't started to post them, but jump in because people are aware, right? They're smart people out there. They might be sleeping now, but they're going to hit Gary Trent in the morning right away. Get in on his three-point shot prop as well. And I'm stoked here, Babano. Got a little Shrine Bowl action. East-West Shrine Bowl tomorrow from Las Vegas. We've got a number here, West -3. Over under 45. I actually think the book's got this right. I think the West is the right side. We'll dip into this, especially tomorrow, on Game Time Decisions. But finally, on the way out here, Babano, what are your final words of wisdom final picks, words of wisdom. It's like Costanza. You got to go out on a high note here. So we'll give you the chance to go out on a high note. What do you make people think, man, that guy's smart. What do you got for us, Babeno?
Well, if the Suns are somewhat healthy tomorrow night against the Hawks, I might lay the points on the road with them against Atlanta. Atlanta's it's just too up and down for me. Trae Young's questionable. DeAndre Hunter, we'll have to see if he'll play. Now, the Suns have been without. Crowder's been banged up. Ayton as well. Payne's been out for a while. But I think the Suns can get it done there. And I think the Heat bounce back after losing to the Raptors. The Spurs and the Heat are both struggling. But I'll trust the better team to bounce back, and I'll lay the points with Miami. I think they'll beat San Antonio.
All right. And final Super Bowl thoughts?
Well, we got Sunday. We'll talk next Wednesday. We'll top it. For now, I like the Bengals. I'm probably going to stick with it. I think Joe Burrow as an underdog is perfect. Straight up in ATS. That's a tough track record to buck right now.
Ian Cameron, great stop at Babeno. Follow Ian on Twitter at Babeno. All right, we'll catch up with you down the road, Babeno. Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Thanks, Gabe.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.